is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number two of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi on the great state of New Jersey. We had a fun first hour. We got a fun second hour on deck for you guys. 30 minutes from now, our VSiN senior NBA analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel, will join us to break down the NBA playoffs. We've got not one, but two game sevens in the NBA. We've got the Pacers and the Knicks, and then the T-Wolves and the Nuggets to wrap things up. And we will be then set for the conference finals to begin next week. Then 45 minutes from now, we got a major championship going on. So our very own Wes Reynolds, host of VSiN Tonight and the Long Shots podcast, will join us to give us some thoughts and some predictions on what he thinks will happen in the final round. I know Wes is sweating out a Bryson DeChambeau ticket at 28-1. Is he confident that Bryson can get into the winner's circle? It's been a while for Bryson at a major. He won the U.S. Open in 2020, I believe it was, and hasn't done anything much since. But we'll see if Bryson DeChambeau can get there for Wes Reynolds at the PGA Championship. But Michael, we'll begin with the NBA Game 7s. Pacers-Knicks tip-off 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific time. Right now, the Knicks 3.5-point favorites, total 208. Just from an overall standpoint here, the injuries are the big thing that's going to shake up this market. The status of OG Anunoby, the status of Josh Hart. We'll have to wait for that as we get closer to tip-off time, but regardless what happens and who's on the floor, how do you see this sort of playing out with the Knicks having that great home court advantage at Madison Square Garden?
Well, I don't think you can ignore the injury, and especially the Josh Hart one, who's so dominant on the glass. He plays so well, rebounds, you know, and that abdominal strain, you saw that it really affected him in Indiana on Friday night. And so, you know, they're going to give it a go in pregame. They're not, haven't been ruled out. Johnny Avello earlier in the last hour didn't think the line would move to four. He did not give any indication that the line would move back, getting a lot of Knick money, which makes sense because they're playing in the Garden. And the Garden has been foolproof, right? Yep. They have been able to energize their team, their defense off of the crowd in the Garden. And Indiana has yet to match that. Indiana played differently in game six than I've seen them play the entire series. They were physical. They were really trying to work the glass. They were getting after it. And to me, it was a completely different Indiana team than I was accustomed to seeing, especially when you look at what they were doing in terms of rebounding and their second effort points and all that. So, you know, they ended up with 47. They out-rebounded the Knicks 47-35 in that game, which is not something they typically do. So you got to believe that if they can continue that, and we heard Carlisle after game five, before game six, when they were facing elimination, say that, you know, his team didn't play to the level of intensity that he wanted. And I think he got that message loud and clear to his team Friday night in Indiana. So, look, they played well. They really did. And I think ultimately, you know, this is going to come down to what Indiana team do we see? We know the Knicks are fairly consistent, but if this Indiana team is as aggressive and as physical as they were in game six, with the Knicks being as wounded, you have to almost think about taking the points.
Yeah, you have to think that the Indiana Pacers are going to try to push the pace as much as possible. That's how they play. They play fast typically, but now with the Knicks, with adding Josh Hart on top of it with all these injuries, and even if Anunoby plays, he's clearly going to be compromised dealing with a hamstring injury, which if he plays, I don't think it's 100% that he makes it through the entire game. Those soft tissue injuries, guys tend to re-aggravate those if they come back a little bit too soon than they were supposed to. So I think
this isn't the NFL though, Femi. One thing about the NFL, you can probably get away with it if you're a lineman or something, but you have to extend yourself and your stride has to be full. You can't hold back on that. And you've got to be really well hydrated in terms of not re-injuring it. This is a challenge. And I don't think they'll let him go out there if they think he's going to pull it, especially considering that if they win, they have to play the Celtics. Look, you know what's interesting about Indiana is McConnell comes off the bench, right? Nobody thinks TJ McConnell's much of a scorer, right? You know, they don't think, you know, he plays 16 minutes. He launches 13 shots. He's 7-for-13. Whereas Halliburton in the last game played 32 minutes. He only shot the ball 12 times. So when the second unit comes on the court with McConnell, they become more aggressive. And he really drives through there and, you know, and he scores 15 points. Of course, he wasn't good enough for the 76ers. God knows we have way better. We had Ben Simmons in his wardrobe. We know that. It's just like Isaiah Joe wasn't good. We just cut him so he can go start for the Thunder. But that doesn't bother me at all because we understand what we're doing in Philly. That's all good. Anyway, so you know, I'm not bitter, Femi, please.
No, never.
But I think to me, I enjoy it. And so, like, to me, when they play with that aggressiveness, and if they get Halliburton to play with the McConnell, I mean, they're hard. They're good. They have depth. You know, and the same thing with Miles Turner. When Miles Turner's playing at that level where he's really aggressive, you know, when he's going to the rim, he takes 10 shots, he's rebounding, gets 8 rebounds. I mean, it was a collective effort to get the 47 rebounds, and they had 14 on the offensive glass, you know, and they matched the Knicks. The Knicks had 13.
I'm actually seeing the first four pop up in the market. So the Knicks over at the South Point have gone to 4-point favorites. So maybe there's some bullishness on Anunoby or somebody coming back.
No, I think that kind of tells us maybe he's going to play. Yeah. Somebody knows something, right? I mean, 100%. That number, I know the Knicks are betting, and it makes all the sense in the world to bet the Knicks because of the way they play at home and their energy level and their mental toughness, right? You know, they are physically, mentally tough, and they shoot the ball much better at home. DiVincenzo is going to be the key again, as I said in the first hour. I mean, you know, last game he was 6-for-14, but he was 3-for-8 from the 3-point line. He had 17 points, but he was minus 17 in the game. He's the key, especially considering if Hart, who can't really go. Hart was 2-for-8, really didn't shoot well. I mean, Brunson was 11-for-26. They made Brunson work. They really made him work.
Yeah, he's had a couple of those games where it's like, it's not maybe not the most efficient, but I think we'll get a good Jalen Brunson because he's a big time player and he seems like he rises to the occasion at Madison Square Garden as well there. Right now it's 209 the total. 3.5 right now is the consensus number here for the side, but a 4 has popped up over at the South Point. So as we always say, shop around if you like either side there. In the other game, T-Wolves and the Nuggets, Denver right now a 5-point favorite. This one, I feel like there's influential money on both sides because it opened 5. It got down to 4.5. Now it then got back to 5. And now we're going back down to 4.5 as well at some spots where I'm sitting here at Circa. It's 4.5. So there's some push-pull going on for Game 7 tonight in the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, I mean, this one to me is a hard one to handicap because in game five, I said, look, Denver's offense was too much for a great Minnesota defense. Shot 52%. So in game six, I felt like, okay, we'll get back to normalcy. In game five, we'll get back to normalcy and they'll play better defense even though they're in Denver. And they didn't. Denver shot like 56% from the field. So games 4 and 5, we saw the Timberwolves defense get worse. Game six, we saw the Timberwolves defense rally. And the adjustments that were made by the coaching staff of the Timberwolves, who, so we understand this, they have two assistant coaches who work for Malone. I mean, remember, Tim Connelly's the general manager who came from Denver to Minnesota. So that staff has a lot of Malone influence. And so they, A, know the players, they know the system, they know the scheme, all those things. I just think to me, you know, we don't know Murray's injury, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to believe Nico is still the best player. I mean, on the court, Jokic is still by far the best player on the court, but can they contain the other players, right? They couldn't contain Gordon. He was, 12-for-13 in game 4, didn't miss a shot. They shot so well. And then the next game, he shot as well as before. That, to me, is the hard handicap. And when Conley's on the court, we know Minnesota's a better team. You know, my instincts want to play Minnesota because they're young, they're energetic, but I can't go against the heart of a champion.
Yeah, I think in both of these games, I'm going with the home team to win them. Like I have that Nuggets bet that I made the series price after game one. I probably should have waited for after game two to get an even better number, but you know, you can't really predict everything that's going to happen in the sequence of it all. But I have a Nuggets bet from earlier last week that I'm going to ride out, and that'll be my bet for this game. But even if I didn't have that bet, I would try to play Denver in some way, whether it's on the money line or laying the points if you can find something 4.5 or so. I think Denver's going to win this game. You have the home court advantage. You have the best player in the world. You have a really good coach in Mike Malone. Like the T-Wolves are they're an incredible team and a really good team that matches up well with Denver, but I just would trust Denver more in this spot. This is the biggest game these Minnesota Timberwolves players are going to play in their careers.
Yeah, I mean, it's common sense, right? I mean, the home team, and you know, we know the altitude's not a factor. They've already won 2 games there, but to win 3 games on the opponent's court, especially a world champion's court, that's a hard one. We've seen no indication that the Pacers can play at a high level on the Knicks court, especially that physicality, the second pass. You know, we didn't mention this, but, you know, Hartenstein kind of disappeared. They did a good job of keeping him off the glass in the last game, in game six on Friday night. He's got to play big, right? That, I mean, this game is all about, like Pat Riley would often say, no rebounds, no rings. Mm-hmm. And so you got to get the rebounds, and the Pacers were determined to win that. And we know that Carlisle was all about that. We know after game six, after game five in the Garden, he was really disappointed with his team's effort, and they came back and responded to his coaching.
Yeah, composure matters a lot in these game sevens, and we haven't seen the composure from the Pacers at Madison Square Garden. Like, and the Knicks have been able to take advantage of that with their tough-mindedness and just like being able to out-hustle the Indiana Pacers. Now, can they do that with banged up guys like Josh Hart with the abdominal strain? We'll find out later this afternoon, but I have faith that the New York Knicks will go ahead and get this done. I'm sorry, Elliot, your Indiana Pacers, I think, are gonna get bounced out of here. Real quick, with a minute left here before we get to the win totals, the easiest schedules on the other side. The hardest schedules, Baltimore Ravens, they're sitting at 11.5. The over's plus 115. Under's minus 135. Too high, too low, just right for the Baltimore Ravens win total this year.
I think it's a little too high. They're going through a bunch of changes. Again, Zach Orris never coordinated a defense. You know, now they got Lamar, get that. But, you know, are they going to – they're counting on a lot of good young players. They do a great job in player development. But to me, I think it's going to be a little bit of a harder challenge. Lamar's good. Lamar's the MVP of the league twice, even though some people thought he could be a wide receiver coming out in the draft. Good luck with that. You know, and so – I think there's no doubt that they're, you know, but I worry about defensively. Losing McDonald is not an easy thing. We saw that in Philadelphia. You know, Eagle fans were complaining about Gannon, and all of a sudden when the replacement, they weren't as sure about that replacement. Both coordinators in Philly, losing both of them hurt.
Yeah, it got worse after Jonathan Gannon, despite what Eagle fans were saying about him in the year they actually went all the way to the Super Bowl. All right, we'll discuss the easiest schedules coming up. Are those too high, too low, just right? Win total breakdown in the NFL next year on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, listen up. For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally $240, I should say. You can now grab it for just $199. This is a 14-month VSiN Pro subscription, less than 50 cents a day. And all you have to do is use promo code Lombardi when you sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe. You can get 19 hours of live programming, the leaderboard, the percentages, the ROI, betting systems, analysis, the betting splits. Once again, VSiN.com/subscribe to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code Lombardi. 50 cents a day to keep the bookie away. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Let's continue our NFL win total discussion here with the easiest schedule. We did the hardest schedules in hour number one. Let's get to the easiest schedules now here in hour number two. And according to the average win totals, the top five easiest schedules, you have the New Orleans Saints, the New York Jets, the Chicago Bears, the Los Angeles Chargers, and the easiest schedule in the NFL this year, the Atlanta Falcons. Michael, do we sometimes, you already chuckle, your Super Bowl winning Atlanta Falcons.
You did not include that. You need that. That's it. That needs to be included in every time you say the Super Bowl. Because, look, when you have the brilliance to find three coaches better than Bill Belichick, you're on a different level than everybody else. So let's be clear.
It's those are real things that they said. That's not just made up stories.
That's the one thing that drives me absolutely insane is they actually put that in an article that they actually
put their names on it,
three coaches better than the second winningest coach in the history of the NFL. But they found three out there in America that were better. That's remarkable. So now they have an easy schedule. So everybody's going to bet the over total like Johnny Avella tells us. I mean, look, here's the reality of Atlanta. Are we sure they're good on defense? Are we sure? They can't rush the passer. Every great team that gets to the playoffs has the ability to create turnovers. Now, you say to me back, Femi, they have Raheem Morris, and he'll coach the defense at a higher level than Nelson did last year, who's now in Jacksonville. I say I like Raheem. I think Raheem deserves a second chance as a head coach, no question. However, he can't create pressure when there isn't players to create pressure. Right. Last year, when you watched the Rams play, what he was so able to do was to get Donald on a one-on-one and to rush five and to put pressure. And those two young defensive tackles he had inside was able to create that. Who's doing that for Atlanta? Grady Jarrett coming off an ACL tear? You know, and so, like, where are their dominant defensive linemen? I mean, when you've ignored the defensive draft in the first round for as long as Super Bowl winning GM Terry Fontenot has done, you're gonna pay a price for that. I mean, it's great you have all these weapons. Oh boy, you got Drake London. He's not even a number one receiver, but you got him. Kyle Pitts, the fifth pick overall in the draft. You know, you got all these great weapons. You can't score points. Oh, because we didn't have a quarterback. Okay, I got that. But I think, to me, we are over-evaluating their defense, and I think that lends itself. Yet, can you really believe they're going to walk into New Orleans and play well against New Orleans? Do you believe they're going to go down to Tampa and play well against Tampa? I mean, I think they're hard games for them. Mm-hmm. So the reason they have this easy schedule is because the South in the NFC isn't very good, and so people mistaken that for Atlanta being a good team. I don't.
Yeah, I think that's really a good takeaway, because, like, the South is not good, which also includes Atlanta. Like they're a part of that as well, which is why, like, that doesn't mean we should overrate, because we did this dance with New Orleans last year when they had the 9.5 win total, and I think it ended up closing at 9, and they ended up winning about, what was it, 7-10 or 8-9, the New Orleans Saints a season ago. If you're not a good team, if you're not a well-coached team, which I think is the biggest takeaway for me when we did the hardest schedules in the first hour, was you emphasizing coaching mattering so much when it comes to these win totals. And when I look at these top five easiest ones, I see four question marks at head coach. Raheem Morris, who I think is a question mark. Maybe he's a really good head coach and becomes one, but it's still a question mark. We're not certain. Dennis Allen, you know how I feel about him. Robert Saleh, we know how we feel about Robert Saleh. Matt Eberflus, I think that's a big question mark as well. And then there's Jim Harbaugh, who we know is a proven winner everywhere he goes. So to me, the team that you should probably focus on, whether it's too high, too low, just right, I think it's too low for the Los Angeles Chargers at 8.5, Michael. Like, this is a proven winner at head coach that has a bona fide quarterback, and you're sitting here telling me the win total is 8.5. I know they don't have receivers or whatever, and they gave up Keenan Allen, they gave up Mike Williams, but I'm going to bet on the coach and the quarterback in this instance, and that's Harbaugh and Justin Herbert.
And the mental toughness of the team, he's going to instill that into them, right? They're going to be mentally tough. They're going to be fundamentally sound, which nobody wants to talk about, but that's the key to success in football, is who's fundamentally sound and who can execute at critical points in the game because they have the mental toughness. And who's not going to make dumb decisions in the game that cost their team points and cost their team a chance to win? I.e. Brendan Staley has often done that. So to me, I think you have to be really objective about it. I think Harbaugh, every team he's gone to, he's improved them immediately.
Yep.
Past performance predicts future achievement. So we know that, you know, look, I think the Jets are interesting in the sense that they're good on defense. Now, what's really fascinating when you watch the Jets last year, Franklin Myers was really a good player. And so was Bryce Hall. They let both those guys go. I'm not sure they replaced him with good players, with as good of players. Mosley is as good a defensive as a linebacker as it is, makes it very challenging to throw the ball. They play more man-to-man than they have in the past. I mean, so they're a challenge to move the football on because of that. And if they can protect the ball and not turn it over and get rid of it, one of the things Rodgers will give them will be the ability for make the offensive line look better. And we know they have issues there. Right. Tyron Smith, can he play all the games? We don't know. Morgan Moses, can he play all the games? We don't know. But they'll be better just because Rodgers will get rid of the football. And if they don't turn it over, but the issue comes back down to Saleh. Can they play complementary football? I mean, they've won 33. He's lost 33 games in his career as a head coach. And if they would have protected the ball and played complementary football and not turned it over on offense, they would have been improved. They could have been a lot better because the defense is good enough to win games. That's why when Rodgers went out last year, I was like, this hurts the Jets, no question.
Yeah.
I kept saying to you on the pod and on our shows, like, look, they can still win. Like, as long if they don't turn this thing over, they got a great running back. If they don't turn this thing over and protect the quarterback, but then again, now it lended itself back into the Nathaniel Hackett element, and can he coach the team? And we saw that really struggled. So that's the issue, you know, and if they're healthy, that's even a bigger issue.
Yeah, and they tried to replace Nathaniel Hackett last season over the offseason, but they went ahead and ran it back with him here. I want to issue a correction. New Orleans says they ended up winning 9 games last year, so they either pushed or went under the win total. Whether you bet under 9.5 or under 9, you got to push on 9, under 9.5. They went ahead and cashed since they only went 9-8. So the Jets, are you too high, too low, or just right on the New York Jets? Like if everything works out, I can see this being a high upside team, but it's a big if with the New York Jets, with all these guys that are injury prone on the offensive line. And we'll see if Rodgers, coming off of the Achilles at the age of 40, if he can also be the Rodgers that we knew prior to the injury.
There's a lot of ifs here, right? And there's a lot of ifs in the East, right? Tua's not at camp. He's not come in. So we don't know where that's going to go. Is he going to be paid $53 million? Right. Miami, how good are they on defense? Right. They just hired Anthony Weaver to coach the front seven. He's the defense coordinator. You know, that has been a little bit of a challenge. How good are they in the secondary? So Miami, Buffalo, right? Buffalo's got a lot of moving parts on defense, right? They're changed who they are defensively. They're undersized defensively. Do they have enough girth? They got the great Josh Allen. We understand that. What will they be like offensively? So I think there's one of the things that lends itself to betting the Jets on an over total is simply because maybe the competition in the East isn't as good as we thought it once was. So, you know, again, Rodgers coming off the AC, coming off the Achilles, you know, Hall's a good back, right? And this, if they can just not turn this thing over and stay healthy defensively, they're really good. But I think they took a step back with losing Franklin Myers and losing Hall. Bryce Huff.
Yeah.
I mean, those two guys were really, and I don't understand why the Jets didn't franchise them, because everybody in the league knew the Eagles were going to sign them. Everybody did.
Yeah, and they ended up replacing him with Hassan Reddick from the Eagles, a little bit older, but he's been productive in the past as well. Reddick getting a lot of sacks in that Philadelphia front. How about the Chicago Bears? Their win total is at 8.5. Too high, too low, just right for Matt Eberflus, Caleb Williams, and the Chicago Bears.
I think it's just right. I think they, you know, they're going to need some luck to get to 9. I don't know who they're going to be defensively, right? I think that's the issue. And I think because of that, I think you've got to worry about the health. We saw them last year when they weren't healthy. You know, could they come through? Now, we know that they've improved with Sweat coming in there, gave them some rush. But who else on the defensive front is going to be good enough?
Yeah, to me, 8.5 is probably just right. But if you can find a 9 out there, which they are out there, I would bet under 9. And I did that, Michael, earlier this week. I bet under 9 on the Chicago Bears. Like, if they win 10 games, I'll tip my cap and say, hey, you beat me. But I don't see that happening. So worst case scenario, we could push on 9. But I'm skeptical of this with a rookie quarterback. This being the expectation is very, very high. And I get that he's going into a really good situation from a skill position standpoint. But with question marks on the offensive line, they didn't really do much to improve the defense over the offseason. I think under 9 is a pretty good bet if you can find it. So as always, shop around with these win totals because they vary from sportsbook to sportsbook. All right, on the other side, we're going to turn our attention back to the hardwood. VSiN senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel joins us next to break down the NBA playoffs here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't already, check out the Michael Lombardi article on NFL schedules revealing tough seasons for a handful of teams. It's over on vsin.com. We've talked a lot about NFL schedules so far today, but if you want some extra analysis, our very own Michael Lombardi wrote up about it on vsin.com. It's up there. Need a VSiN Pro subscription? Make sure you get that done today. Check out the website. There's up NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, PGA Championship, everything your heart desires. It's a new revamped website, and it's pretty awesome. I encourage you to go ahead and look at it at vsin.com today. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. And to talk some NBA playoffs, our VSiN senior NBA analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel, joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. JVT, good morning. Hope all is well. We appreciate you waking up with us. We got two game sevens, man. Two best words in sports, and we got two of them. Let's start with the one at Madison Square Garden. Pacers, Knicks, right now New York, 3.5-point favorites, but the South Point just went to 4. Total at 208. How do you see this one playing out from a betting standpoint?
I mean, it's a little bit difficult this one, right? Because there's some noise. OG Anunoby and Josh Hart and what their status is going to be for this game. Officially questionable still as we look at it. The reports were that they were going to try to give it a go, Femi. But the two things that you don't really know is, one, if it's going to be official that they will. And two, what their status is. You know, as I always say, we don't get the Street Fighter health bar above our heads to indicate how healthy we are as we head into a game. And frankly, look, it's been a really good story up to this point. The Knicks fighting through adversity. But we do have to talk about the fact that they have thrust that adversity upon themselves a little bit, i.e. Tom Thibodeau and the way that he has played these guys. Now, Josh Hart, shockingly enough, running 100 miles since the end of May is not really conducive to health as you play a lot of these minutes. And he deals with this abdominal strain. And you have to wonder if OG Anunoby is rushing himself back from a hamstring strain that can generally take a little bit longer. So I think there's a little noise. It clearly seems, though, that the market actually believes that these guys are going to be out there. We opened up three. We're up to four, as you mentioned, over the South Point. Some other spots are starting to get to that point too. So and you'll just generally see this from the market, right? Which is not even belief of what's going to happen or if these guys are healthy. It's more of a, it seems that they're going to play. And if they're going to play, we want the best number available. And so you lay three in the hopes that this thing closes at about 4.5. So it's probably where you get to. We should also note that New York kind of punted in game six, right? When they kind of realized that the writing was on the wall. And so they're kind of gearing up for potentially one stop at home. So I think generally the Knicks should move on. I have not been a big fan of Indiana. I think defensively they've been very poor. I think they have gotten the very, very good hand of being dealt a team that has been injured from Mitchell Robinson, OG Anunoby, and now Josh Hart throughout this entire series. I think the Knicks move on. But from a number standpoint, a game like this, it is easy to sit back and wait. Because if the Knicks, or excuse me, the Knicks come out, get off to a slow start. Let's say Indiana goes up like 9-3 early on, 10-2. You're going to get a better number in game to get a short underdog price on the New York Knicks.
Wait. JVT, were you shocked as I was about how aggressive and how physical Indiana played in game six? Because that was a different Indiana team than I was used to seeing throughout the whole series. They out-rebounded the Knicks. They dominated the boards. They got 13 offensive rebounds. It seemed to me like they changed who they were a little bit in terms of their mental attitude.
Yeah, Michael, and frankly, speaking to like the fact that like I've been kind of turned off by Indiana, where was that this whole series? You're taking on a team that was like, it's like six guys deep, right? Like you should be running them up and down the floor and trying to exhaust this squad. You as the bigger team where you have Miles Turner and Pascal Siakam in your front court, you're playing a team that's starting 4'6", 4 guys or shorter. You should be able to dominate them in terms of physicality on the glass. Frankly, if you were a competent team, we wouldn't be here, right? You wouldn't be in a game seven on the road. You would have been able to take care of business. So I'm with you. It was a breath of fresh air to watch the way that they played the other night. But at the same time, do you have the confidence that they'll be able to do that in New York, where up to this point in the series, it hasn't really gone well? You've had some good performances from like a Tyrese Halliburton and whatnot, but this Knicks team has been playing well at home generally, and that's kind of been the tale of the series, as we know. So I'm with you. Like, I like that, but it hasn't been consistent enough for me to really believe that an Indiana Pacers team that is one of the worst defensive teams in this postseason is going to be able to continue to do that here in a road environment where, again, too, like this young squad, right? Not a lot of miles in terms of being in these sort of environments. Miles Turner's been in the playoffs, but Tyrese Halliburton, this is a brand new animal for him and others. So I think that's kind of where I sit there and look. Like, Pascal Siakam's been here before, and that goes to a player prop angle too really quickly, Michael, which is they don't really have a ton. And if OG Anunoby's going to play, you might want to get off of this. But Pascal Siakam, since OG Anunoby has been hurt, has gone over his point total prop in each game but one. So if he's going to play, then you might want to get off of that. But if OG Anunoby ends up not playing or is limited in minutes, Pascal Siakam to go over his point total prop is going to be something worth looking at again here for Indiana.
Yeah, that number on Siakam, 21.5 points, if you want to go ahead and bet the over there. Obviously, pending the status of OG Anunoby for the New York Knicks. We're speaking with Jonathan Von Tobel, VSiN senior NBA analyst, here on the Progressive Guest Line. Check out JVT on VSiN.com and, of course, on VSiN Primetime, which you can see weekdays 6 to 9 Eastern time here at the network. Let's get to the other Game 7 in the Rocky Mountains. Timberwolves against the Nuggets. Right now, Denver's a 5-point favorite, total 198. How do you see this from a side and total standpoint? And also, are you looking to attack some props, perhaps, in this game between the T-Wolves and the Nuggets?
So I think from a side perspective, and full disclosure, you know, I've got a position on both sides here. I got a future on Minnesota. I took Denver when they were down 2-0 in the series to get a little off of it. So from a side perspective, I'm going to sit back and watch. I want Minnesota to win. And Femi, I think that's like the side I would plant my flag in. The Timberwolves, as we know, have these three lopsided victories. Two of them are insanely lopsided. One of them was a big win in crunch time, which they ended up pulling away in game one. But this team has had the more lopsided things work in their favor. And I think when you look at the way that they have to defend, which is we saw like the peak of that in game six, they started to double Nikola Jokic. They were pre-rotating guys before the ball even hit Jokic's hands. They were tenacious the other night on defense. And if they can bring that same tenacity here in this game, flying around, switching prior, again, having Mike Conley back on the floor. If you guys remember, after game six, Anthony Edwards was asked, like, hey, what was the difference? And he said, shoot, man. Well, he didn't say shoot, but he said, shoot, it was Mike Conley. Like, Mike Conley's back. And when he's on the floor, guys, in this postseason, they've got a plus 14 net rating. They're incredible when he's out there. He gives them a guy to start getting everybody involved on offense. He gives them a knockdown corner shooter if they need to, all these sort of things. So the fact that this team's going to be healthy, they can play tenacious defense. For me, it would be take five with the Minnesota Timberwolves as somebody who's kind of believed in this experiment since last year when guys were punching fire extinguishers and punching each other and everything like that. I think they've got the pieces to go in here and win this game potentially. As far as the total is concerned, you know, I wrote a little bit about this. It's going to be up on the website right now. It's a little dangerous at this point, I think, to get in on under. If you guys remember a couple of weeks back, I came on with you, talked about Orlando and Cleveland. I had taken the under in that game, and I even got a better number, but it still wasn't the best number available. And that one ended up having, I think, about 203 points in that game seven. The market likes to just blindly hit these opening numbers and bet them under, right? DraftKings opened to a 1.5. We're down to as low as 198.5. South Point, in fact, second mention for them, that was begging for money on the over. They went to 197.5 for about 30 minutes before they got back up to 199. So I think we're at the bottom point here. For me, it would be 198 or over or anything like that, because I just think we're a little too low now at this point right now. But that's where I'm at with side and total. And I'll say this really quickly for this game. When we saw the Minnesota Timberwolves decide to double in a really big way on Thursday, like they had sent a couple ones, but it was like every possession, Jokic is going to see two bodies. I thought two things were viable. One was going to be a guy like Jamal Murray to go over his point total prop. It was the lowest of the series, and he got the workload. He had 18 shot attempts. Problem is, he only hit four of them, right? So you need the guy to do his end of the bargain, but you're at least going to get the volume there. So again, today, 19.5, I think you're over at like minus 120. I think that's a potential there. But for me, the bigger one would be Jokic over assists. If you go back to that last game, guys, he only had two assists. The tracking data tracked him at 15 assist opportunities. So essentially kicking it out to guys who took a shot. There was the potential for him to get double digits assists in that game. In fact, maybe over 15. I think that's going to be something to look at here. They're going to send doubles. They're going to send them hard. They're going to try to get the ball out of Jokic's hands. That means other guys have to knock them down. And the fact that you're back at home, Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray, others should be in a better position to get those assists there for Nikola Jokic.
How about the last night, Dallas, incredible win. You know, as we said before the show, before you came on the air, that everybody was more on the Thunder than they were the Mavericks. Have you changed your opinion of the Mavericks based on what they did in this series? And what kind of success, and who do you think they would match up better against, Minnesota or Denver?
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating, Michael, because you mentioned it. Like throughout this entire series that we saw, the market firmly planted their flag at the side of Oklahoma City. The series price, open pick, closed in some spots as $1.135. I think every single game but one, the market moved in favor of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like there was some very firm support from those who shaped the market on the side of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, some of that had to do with power rating. Some of that had to do throughout this series. We saw, hey, frankly, like the shooting regression should just hit because the Thunder are a better shooting team than this. And we saw little flashes of that. But it's pretty fascinating because in their first round series with LA, the Mavericks were the team that the market couldn't get enough of. So now we move on to the Western Conference Finals against whoever they face. It's going to be fascinating to see what the market wants to do with Dallas, given who they're going to face. Now, as far as who would they rather take on, I think you'd rather take on Denver, Michael, not because they're the weaker team, but for a team that likes to play the way that Dallas does, right? Which is Luka slowly calculating, going after mismatches, trying to hunt guys. There's just more guys to hunt for Denver as opposed to Minnesota, right? For Minnesota, if you're Luka and you're trying to hunt mismatches, it's Mike Conley. And then after that, it's elite wing defender Jaden McDaniels. It's elite wing defender Anthony Edwards. It's pretty solid big guy, at least along the perimeter, and Rudy Gobert. Like, there's not that many guys to go after an individual one-on-one isolation standpoint. So I think that's the way you want to do it. It's not that Denver is a bad defensive team, but you can go after Jamal Murray, right? You can go after Michael Porter Jr. You can make those guys pay in isolation situations. So I think from a matchup standpoint, I think they'd rather want Denver. What the series price would be for either is going to be pretty fascinating. I don't think it's going to be higher than minus 200.
All right. That is JVT joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. We'll have Wes Reynolds help us wrap things up coming up next.
Yeah. This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Timmy Abefefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. Welcome back. It's the final segment of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. Thank you to Jonathan Von Tobel, our VSiN senior NBA analyst, join us in the last segment. And joining us now to help us wrap up the show on the Progressive Guest Line, it is the one and only Wes Reynolds, host of VSiN Tonight and the VSiN Long Shots podcast for you golf bettors out there. Wes, good morning. Thanks for hanging out with us here on the Progressive Guest Line. We'll get to the PGA Championship momentarily. You're also an Indianapolis native. Pacers, game 7 at the Knicks. It's the 90s all over again. We're at the Garden. How do you see this playing out? Well, the Knicks right now, they're getting bet out. The South Point now has them out to 4, total hanging out at 208.5.
Well, I hope it's the same result as it was 19 years ago, or 29 years ago for a game 7 when the Pacers were able to escape there, the old 8 points, 9 seconds from Reggie Miller. But, yeah. In terms of this game, obviously there's a lot to wait on, you know, with the Josh Hart news, if he's going to go. He was obviously battling that abdominal issue in game number 6, and OG hasn't played since early in the series, so is he going to be back with the hamstring? But the way that I did play it, I did play this game under the total here, even though you're already paying the premium here for game 7 unders. But look, game 7 unders over the last 20 years, about 62%. So I think that this one strikes me as an under, just because I think that's the way, that's the Knicks like route to victory, right? Is to maybe slow this down a little bit and make it a more of a half court grinder, because you know the Pacers are more comfortable playing up tempo. You know, they were one of the highest scoring teams in the league. They were also one of the worst defensive teams in the league. So I think if you're the Knicks, you want to make them play defense every possession if you want to win this game. So I have no idea on the side. I tend to lean Knicks. I'm not going to bet it, though, without knowing what's going on with Hart and Ananobi. But I do think this is a lower scoring game today.
How about the way the Pacers played in game 6 at home? Do you think they can carry over that physicality and intensity?
I hope so, Michael, because they needed to, because game number 5, they kind of did get punked out a little bit and they got beat up on the boards. I believe they only had 5 offensive rebounds in game 5, and Isaiah Hartenstein had more just by himself. And, you know, the Pacers are not a good rebounding team anyway. They're not necessarily a big team, but the way they want to play defensively is they want to funnel you to the rim and they want to run you off the 3-point line, and not get beat that way. But, you know, hopefully this toughness carries over. We know Tyrese Haliburton has not looked 100% in this series. I don't think it's the hamstring he was battling. I think it's more of a back issue. But you can't pull a disappearing act. Tyrese can't do that, and Pascal Siakam can't do that. And Siakam, I think, really came through in game number 6. But this is a guy that they're going to give max contract money to, apparently, this summer. And he's got to deliver today, and that's all there is to it. Your bench, McConnell and Toppin and the guys, can only carry you so much. So, you know, the stars have got to deliver for the Pacers, and there have been times where they've been really hit and miss in this series.
We're hanging out with Wes Reynolds here, host of VSiN Tonight, the Look Ahead, and the VSiN Long Shots podcast here on the Progressive Guest Line. Wes, let's turn our attention over to Valhalla, the PGA Championship final round later on today in Louisville. Xander Schauffele and Colin Morikawa are co-leaders. Is today the day that Xander finally breaks through and gets that elusive major championship victory?
It could be, and it probably should be, because he's never been able to convert these leads in major championships. But my one bullet probably to win that I have left going into the tournament is actually Bryson DeChambeau, who I think you could get at about 6 or 7 to 1, depending on your store out there. And look, oftentimes these major championships, Femi, are kind of defined by a moment, right? You know, some kind of moment that happens. Everybody's got some scar tissue. Everybody makes a mistake. Like we saw Xander with the double bogey on the back 9 yesterday. But when I talk about those moments, I'm talking about Bryson DeChambeau chipping in at 18 for eagle, and, you know, the little fist pump there, and getting 2 back, because he was not great yesterday, especially on his irons. He lost like 1.62 strokes on approach and then had to scramble. He had to go 8 of 9 for scrambling to get up and down. So, you know, the fact that he was able to kind of survive a little bit yesterday, I think maybe is good for his fortunes today. This is a guy, he leads the field, obviously leads the golf world on driving distance, but I think he's right there. I think he's in good position. He's had a couple times where he's been in the mix to win on LIV this year and has kind of faded away on Sunday. I don't think he fades away today.
How about, first of all, two things. Shane Lowry, I mean, unbelievable. Do you think that's he can duplicate that type of day? And what do you think the final score total will be to win the tournament?
I don't think that he can, Michael, just because it was the best putting round of his career, where he gained 5.6 strokes putting over 18 holes. Had a shot, actually, at a 61 that set the all-time major championship record yesterday. I don't want to necessarily doubt Shane Lowry because he is an Open champion. He is a major championship winner, but just to putt like that, I think, you know, I don't know if I could see it for 2 days, even though this course, Valhalla, as you mentioned, this has played a lot easier than I think people thought it was going to. As the week went on, it was kind of like, you know what, this is probably going to play at least a little bit easier because the course has softened up a little bit. So it's maybe not as firm and fast as it was designed to play. And you're seeing just the scoring. Like, it seemed like everybody was making a move and everybody was making everything yesterday, even though they never were able to catch the two leaders, Shoffley and Morikawa. So I'm looking at this score. I think it's probably going to be 18 under par. I wouldn't be shocked if it reached 20. I know a lot of the guys on the Golf Channel, they were talking to, you know, surveying all the caddies out there. They're saying, I think 20 under is going to win here. Going into the week, I thought it was going to be like 13 or 14 under.
Yeah, we've already surpassed that. 15 under our co-leaders, Xander Schauffele and Colin Morikawa. Well, the fact that the course is playing easier than expected, does that mean that somebody from the back could come maybe make a charge up there? Like, could this be Justin Thomas? We saw it 2 years ago when he charged up when Mito Pereira and Will Zalatoris were in the final pairing, and then all of a sudden Justin Thomas forces the playoff and he ultimately wins the PGA Championship at Southern Hills. Can something like that happen today where somebody who's sort of off the pace right now can charge up and potentially steal this PGA Championship?
I think it could, Femi, and then that one was beneficial for me. Hopefully we get another break like that in the PGA today. But, yeah, only 10 under par. There's a group of players at 10 under. Tony Finau is there, too. Finau had some opportunities yesterday that he kind of let get away. So, yeah, you're going to see somebody from the back, a few shots back, that I think at least get into the mix of these things. I got to tend to think that it's going to be one of the four of Shoffley, Morikawa, Sahith Theegala, or Bryson. But look, you got Victor Hovland in the mix, and his game was nowhere all season long. He had changed swing coaches several different times, had the sports psychologist with him at Augusta National. So, you know, he had just been really going through some mental blocks with his game, and then all of a sudden he reunites with Joe Mayo, who's actually based right out here in Las Vegas as a swing coach, and it worked, and that's what he needed to get him out of his slump. But I think somebody could come from the back. It's just how far back can you do it 18 holes? I think you probably got to be within 3 or 4. I don't know if you're going to see a 62 on Sunday like you did yesterday.
Hey, Wes, real quick, we got about a minute. We saw the schedule come out. What's your favorite over-under team total that you love to play?
Oh, man, yeah, this is hard, and I've actually just started doing the work on that. I would be looking just at the schedule. I lean Steelers under a little bit, Michael, just because the schedule at the back end is so difficult. It's all divisional games. It's all top teams. And I wonder if that team, and time again, they pulled a rabbit out of a hat and gotten a winning season. But I wonder if they could do that this year. You know, it depends on how the quarterback, on how Russ is going to play. But, yeah, the Steelers, I just think maybe that schedule is going to wear them down at the end.
Be careful, Wes. Tomlin's never been below 500. All right?
I've heard that.
Be careful. Just saying. Be careful. He is Wes Reynolds. Check him out on VSiN tonight. The Look Ahead, also the Long Shots podcast. Wes, who do you think wins the PGA Championship in 10 seconds? We didn't even ask you that. Who do you think ultimately wins today?
I'm hopeful, but I think it's going to happen too. Bryson DeChambeau gets the Wanamaker Trophy today.
All right. We'll be looking out for that. We got the two game sevens.
Good for you. I hope he does for your 28-1 play.
There we go. Let's get to the window with that, huh? That's a nice size ticket. All right, Wes, good luck with the bets, man. Be well.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Awesome stuff there from Wes Reynolds. Well, that wraps it up here for us, Michael. I mean, we got two game sevens, the PGA Championship. Quick you have your two TVs set up ready to go today?
I'm ready to go. I got four game Femi ready to go today. I'm all set. Don't worry. I'll have it all up as well for you. No, there'll be no baseball, Femi, and there's no baseball. I don't have time. I can't digest it all. I don't have that Will Hill skill to know everything.
The Phillies are playing well. I thought you might want to watch. That does it for us here on this day. For our producer, Elliot Bowman, for Michael Lombardi, I'm Femi Benface, and good luck with the bets. The Handle with Matt Brown and Mike Somich coming up next.